540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says he's not going to resign from Congress, even though some fellow Democrats say he should after being indicted last week on bribery charges.
To those who have rushed to judgment, have done so based on a limited set of facts framed by the prosecution to be as salacious as possible. Remember, prosecutors get it wrong sometimes.
An earlier unrelated prosecution of Menendez ended in a mistrial. Members of the Writers Guild could vote later this week on the new tentative contract that's been hammered out with Hollywood studios. TV and pop culture expert Robert Thompson on what should happen once the nearly five-month-long strike ends.
Late night will probably be, along with daytime talk shows, the first thing back. There's talk now that they should be on the air by maybe the week of October 2nd, maybe the week of October 9th.
Actors are still very much on strike. One of them, Jordan Mitchell Love, says key to labor peace there will be a deal with clear limits on artificial intelligence.
I could see myself pop up in something 10 years later and probably never be compensated for it. And that's part of why we're out here, is to be given compensated fairly for the work that we do.
It's a solemn day in New York City as the fire department union chief notes the death of Robert Fulco, a retired FDNY member who got sick after working in the rubble of the 9/11 attack.
He's the 343rd member of the FDNY to pass after September 11, 2001. A number that matched the 343 firefighters lost in one day in 2001.
Well, President Biden this morning committing $40 billion in an initiative to boost Pacific Island infrastructure.
We hear your warnings of a rising sea that would pose an existential threat to your nations. We hear your calls for reassurance that you never, never, never will lose your statehood or membership of the UN as a result of a climate crisis.
Well, correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti has returned to Maui weeks after wildfires caused mass death and destruction.
Painful memories await many families who will be returning to what's left of their homes in Lahaina this week. The community gathered Sunday night to discuss recovery efforts. Cami Furtado was among those present.
The sock store, the ice cream store.
Furtado is a sixth generation Lahainan whose family owned about a dozen historic buildings on Front Street.
Is it your family's commitment that you're going to keep this in the family?
That's our intent, is to rebuild.
Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down about 9 points. The S&P is up 9 points, and the NASDAQ is up 34 points. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Three sheriff's deputies from Northern Illinois are recovering from injuries they got while helping on a bomb call in Beloit Saturday. A spokesperson says it happened while the deputies were taking dynamite out of a trailer. We don't know how badly they were hurt. Local and federal investigators are looking into it. All classes are virtual today at Milwaukee Lutheran High School after a shooting at Friday night's football game. Pete Schwaba has more.
Last we knew, police were still on the lookout for whoever fired several shots inside the stadium at Friday night's game between Milwaukee Lutheran and Pius High Schools. No one was hurt, and the apparent shooter got away. The game was cut short, and all of the rest of Lutheran High's homecoming activities were canceled. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
The Brewers are getting ready for baseball's playoffs, and state lawmakers are scrambling this week to ensure the team's long-term future in Milwaukee. Local officials in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County might drive the Hargis Barden on a deal to maintain American Family Field. Mayor Cavalier Johnson wants some of the parking lots around the ballpark to generate new tax revenue. Rick Schlesinger is the Brewers' president of business operations. He says that's easier said than done.
There's certainly a lot of parking spaces, but to think that we can just short-term turn this into a beer district or a major development, the economics you know, are somewhat daunting.
Schlesinger was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. So was the author of the Brewers Bill, Republican Representative Rob Brooks. Brooks says he's open to another local demand, which is a lower local financial contribution.
I understand it's a heavy lift, you know, with the financial situation the city and the county find themselves in, but I think we can get there.
Local leaders also want more representation on the stadium district board. Brooks says the bill could be ready to go to committee in a matter of days. Wisconsin lawmakers turned their attention to human trafficking this week. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The Speaker's Task Force on Human Trafficking is set to hold its first meeting Wednesday. Experts from the Department of Justice and the Department of Public Instruction are expected to testify. Lawmakers may craft legislation after gathering all the information. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
There's another push to legalize marijuana in Wisconsin. Senator Melissa Agard is introducing a bill to legalize cannabis for responsible adult use. Agard points out marijuana is legal in Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota, making Wisconsin an island. Polling shows 69% of people in Wisconsin want marijuana legalized. Republican lawmakers appear more open to legalizing medical marijuana. Insurance enrollment season is underway. As Mike Moan reports, many people in Wisconsin will soon make decisions about their health coverage.
Allison Epsiseth leads Covering Wisconsin, which has navigators who provide unbiased information for free on a lot of these topics. They also can calm nerves about assumptions that all insurance is too expensive.
There are always new plans coming on the marketplace, especially Wisconsin has a really robust number of plans available.
She also notes that 90% of people who turn to the marketplace for private coverage get financial assistance to help cover their premiums. More information also can be found at wiscovered.com. I'm Mike Moen.
IndyCar racing returns to the Milwaukee Mile next year for the first time in 9 years. Organizers are planning for a race on Labor Day weekend. The first IndyCar Series race at Wisconsin State Fair Park was in 1939. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Tensions are brewing among prominent Republicans in Waukesha County. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the former County Republican Party chair, John Macy, has leveled accusations against current leadership, alleging improper coordination with a political action committee. Macy claims that payments were funneled to party leaders through the PAC and used to support advisors of Tim Michaels, the unsuccessful Republican gubernatorial candidate. While Macy's allegations raise concerns about potential campaign finance law violations, the accused party leadership dismisses the claims, characterizing the accusations as politically motivated. Around 100 employees at the Stellantis parts plant in Bayview are part of the UAW strike against major automakers. Those workers and thousands of others are seeking substantial pay and benefit increases, including a 40% pay raise. The strike is receiving support from local politicians and labor leaders in Milwaukee. The fate of the Milwaukee plant remains uncertain, as Stellantis had considered its closure prior to the strike, though no final decisions were made. The owner of the Rock Sports Complex in Franklin is addressing ongoing noise complaints from neighbors. Franklin's mayor organized an emergency meeting in response to the issue, and one county board supervisor even gave consideration to a potential lawsuit. The CEO and owner of the complex says some neighbors may never be entirely satisfied with the situation. He does say he's open to finding solutions, including discussing acceptable noise levels and the possibility of sound barriers. IndyCar will make a return to the Milwaukee Mile for the first time since 2015, with a race next Labor Day weekend. The Milwaukee Mile has a rich history in IndyCar racing dating back to 1939, with several legendary drivers claiming victories on the one-mile oval. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Happy fall, y'all. The autumn equinox was on Saturday, and now it's surely feeling and looking like the season. A rainy, dreary day continues, especially for central Wisconsin, as an approaching low pressure spins up showers and storms. While there may be lightning and a few rumbles of thunder, none will turn severe. However, a decent amount of rain will fall. Over a quarter of an inch to nearly a half an inch is likely, with some areas receiving over an inch to maybe even 2 inches by the end of the day. Localized flooding is possible. Now, the rain keeps the state wet for the first half of this week, not winding down until Wednesday. This is because the low pressure stalls out over the western edge of the state and drops south into Illinois slowly. Temperatures remain right in the mid to upper 60s, with a few low 70s by the southern state line. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Packers with an incredible comeback win. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Saints 18-17 in front of 78,000 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love, who had thrown his first interception of the year, was asked how hard was it to overcome a 17-0 deficit.
Yeah, it's very hard. You know, especially you haven't done what you wanted all game, especially offensively. You know, we hurt ourselves more than we helped ourselves. And then just to be able to stay poised and stay confident in what we're doing and just have that next play mentality. But it's not easy. It's a total team win right there. Everybody's got to, you know, step up, make plays, and we did on all phases at the end.
Love ran for a touchdown, threw another to Romeo Doubs, then converted for 2 points on a PAT. It's the biggest come-from-behind victory since 2018, when Aaron Rodgers led a comeback against the Bears. Matt LaFleur.
Well, there was never a doubt, right? Not how you draw it up. You got to give the Saints a ton of credit. They built a pretty good lead right there. But I cannot tell you, I've never been a part of a win like this. The guys in the locker room, they believe in one another, and they continue to battle. And that's really, as a coach, that's all you can ask of anybody.
Did the comeback win boost the team's confidence in Jordan Love? Packers defensive end Kenny Clark.
Oh yeah, boosted it. Yeah, even more. We already had confidence in him, and you know what he can do, and this just you know preaches to what we've been saying all along. So you know, proud of Jordan and how he came out and how resilient he is. And credit to this team.
So the Packers are now 2-1. They host the Lions this Thursday night. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled off a 38-17 win over the Purdue Boilermakers. The Badgers improving to 3-1 and host Rutgers next after the bye, but they've lost running back Ches Malusi, who suffered a fractured fibula and is out for the season, head coach Luke Fickell.
He's not just a great football player for us. He's not just a great tailback. He's a bit of the heart and soul of some of the things that we do. And you know, because of all the things he's gone through, you know, all the ups and downs and the injuries, and to have the attitude that he has, he'll still be a really big part of what it is that we do.
Baseball. The Brewers missed another chance to clinch a spot in the playoffs. They lost again to the Miami Marlins, this time 6-1. The Crew are back in Milwaukee tonight to take on the Cardinals. Outfielder Sal Frelick are now having a chance to secure a playoff spot with a win at home.
I mean, upset we lost, obviously, because we lost the game, but when it comes to clinching, like, I think we're in a great spot and we have a big homestand to do it at when we get home, so it'll be exciting either way, but looking forward to getting it done.
Starting pitcher Freddie Peralta only lasted 3 innings on the mound yesterday in Miami. Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't a great outing. He's been sick. He was really sick on Friday night, and I think that just kind of zapped some of his energy. He was feeling good today coming into the park, but, you know, maybe that zapped some of his energy.
Was it just kind of like a bug, do you think, with him, or...
He was sick.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs around 70, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight, lows around 60, overcast. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 67, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Aaron Zommers, I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. On this lovely, lovely Monday afternoon, the absolute worst Wednesday of the week. Aaron, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad to be here. I went bear hunting again this weekend, still saw nothing.
Oh, that is unfortunate. I too went bear hunting, but it was watching the Kansas City Chiefs absolutely dismantle the Chicago Bears, and I saw plenty of bears getting hunted at that time. That was an ugly one.
Yeah, I mentioned bear hunting to some of our salespeople here, and they said, well, I mean, I'm sure they were all hiding after getting whooped, and they were just
on
all
national
sitting,
television,
yeah, exactly,
in front of all of the Taylor Swift fans that were now tuning into their to their first NFL game. It's been a rough week for the Chicago Bears for a number of different reasons. But Aaron, it is Monday. That means we're going to be touching on some of the headlines of the weekend that we may or may not have missed. We have my friend Andre Walton, the executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution, coming on at the 12:30 break. But first, I want to give a shout out to Cap Times Idea Fest. Civic Media, of course, serving as a media partner for the event that went on this weekend. I was, of course, in Madison to experience some of the incredible, incredible sessions that they held, particularly the Friday night session, a one-on-one with Senator Bernie Sanders, hosted by Cap Times Associate Editor John Nichols. Bernie, as always, was fantastic. Fun to have the opportunity, was able to shake his hand, introduce myself afterwards. And then on Saturday morning, making Wisconsin Saturday afternoon, I should say, Luke would joke, morning for you, Will, it's at 1 p.m. But making Wisconsin a 21st century laboratory of democracy with the panelists Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, also moderated by John Nichols, discussing how a century ago, Wisconsin was known as America's laboratory of democracy, as the state was a source of innovative ideas that inspired the legislative accomplishments of the progressive era and the New Deal. Francesca and Christina, in my opinion, are two of the most dynamic members of the current legislature, and it was very, very fun to have the opportunity to hear from them, hear what kind of stuff they're working on in a nice, open setting where they were able to pretty much talk freely about whatever they wanted to discuss. It was a great time. Shout out to Cap Times Idea Fest and shout out to Civic Media for being there.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome time. I know Representatives Hong and Shelton definitely love hearing from them when we have them as guests on shows here on Civic Media. But you also mentioned Senator Bernie Sanders, and we got a call from him over the weekend. And he wanted us to play this for you today. I don't know. I didn't understand what he was asking for, but here we go.
If you have your birthday, I'm not going to call you up to congratulate you, so you love me and you write nice things about me. Happy birthday! Oh, Bernie, thanks so much for calling.
Oh, Senator Sanders, you shouldn't have. That's so kind of you. No, I love that video. That's a classic, Aaron. It's from the 2020 New York Times interview process when they were determining what candidate to endorse, and Bernie was essentially making the point that you know, he's built different, let's say, in the sense that he's not going to be that person who gets all excited for you. Yeah, everybody's got a birthday once a year, and then yours happens to be today. Happy birthday. I love you so much. Like, no, he's here to get work done. And I got mad respect for that because, you know, it's just another Monday for most of us, Aaron.
Well, for most of us. But, you know, your birthday only comes once a year, right?
Yeah, but, you know, at my age, you start getting... These birthdays, man, they come and go. It's just once a year. It's another number. Youth is just a mindset, right? So at least that's what I tell myself to help me sleep at night. These bones don't move like they used to. Not that I'm, you know, old in that sense, but I feel old, man. It just it never ends. Year after year after year, you put in all the work and stuff doesn't seem to change. But anyways, Aaron, I want to talk about some of the most exciting news from the weekend that we didn't have the opportunity to cover either last week or going into Friday's show. But first, as long as we were on the topic of Bears getting hunted, did you get a chance to watch the Packers game by any chance?
I did. On Sunday, after the morning, we were done, got to go get some lunch, and we thought, you know what, let's go to a bar, my dad and I, we went to a bar to watch the Packer game, and... at first, obviously, it was a little rough. You know, first quarter, 7-0 Saints. Second quarter, 17-0 Saints. But we stuck around. We stayed the whole time. And we actually, there was just a little friendly pool where you put in $2 a quarter and then one random person, well, not random, it's based on the score. You add up the last digit to the score. So the first two, the lucky number was 7. And whoever signed on for 7 got $20. My dad won the first quarter and I won the second quarter. And because this is up north and not in the big city of Madison, we ended up getting paid to sit and have a couple beers and watch the Packer game.
You can't beat it, right? There was no stop the steal. Nobody started to question the results after they saw some...
Two nobodies.
a couple of anomalies in the results here at this bar tab, but it was a very, very fun game. I believe so. This was Jordan Love's first home start of his career. First of all, the Packers won their 11th straight home opener, which almost sounds unbelievable. that's pretty crazy, but it is true. Now Derek Carr was knocked out in the third quarter, and that kind of turned the tide of the game. But
right.
I don't believe Aaron Rodgers once had a 17-point fourth quarter comeback. Brett Favre never did it. So we're gonna start seeing the hype. We're gonna start seeing people talking about it. It's just nice to have a comeback like that early in the season for a young quarterback, build up his confidence a little bit. Another piece of news that I really wanted to touch on, Aaron, because I think this is incredibly, incredibly important. Reading over from the AP, Writers Union reaches tentative deal with Hollywood Studios to end historic strike. The union representing screenwriters reached a tentative agreement with Hollywood Studios to end a historic strike after nearly 5 months, raising hopes that a crippling shutdown of movie and television filming could be near an end. While actors remain on strike, the deal with writers might help them find a resolution soon as well. The Writers Guild of America announced the deal Sunday in a joint statement with the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, the group that represents studios, streaming services, and production companies in negotiations. The agreement must be approved by the Guild's board members before the strike officially ends, which could happen within the next week. If you have comments, questions, or concerns, or would like to just throw your opinion our way, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear it. Hot labor summer, Aaron. It might have passed the fall equinox, but you can never really leave.
Absolutely. I was very excited to see this news this morning when I woke up, especially because of the way that the Writers Guild leaders are talking about it, that they're excited about the resolution, not just like, well, whatever, we got a deal, we're going to get through it, but no, they're happy about the terms that they have agreed upon. So I'm glad to see this, that striking pays off.
Yeah. What's the lesson here, Aaron? Worker solidarity works.
Yes.
Right? You get stuff done.
We do have power in numbers.
Mm-hmm. The AP piece notes that the pact was made possible by the enduring solidarity of WGA members and extraordinary support of our union siblings who joined us on the picket line for over 146 days, Aaron. The Guild said in an email to members. In a longer message shared by members on social media, the writers were told the strike is not over and no one is to return to work until hearing otherwise. But picketing was to be suspended immediately. Of course, this, as we noted, is due to the vote still being required. The agreement must be approved by the Guild's board and members before officially ending the strike. The three-year contract agreement emerged after five marathon days of renewed talks by WGA and AMPTP negotiators, who were joined at times by studio executives. The terms, while not immediately announced, would end the last or the deal to end the last writer strike, I should say, in 2008 was approved by more than 90% of union members. Media and entertainment companies got a small boost from the news, not that I care about that, but shares in Warner Brothers, Discovery, Paramount, Disney, Netflix, etc., rose by about 2%. The agreement came just 5 days before the strike would have become the longest in the Guild's history and the longest Hollywood strike in more than 70 years, Aaron. As a result of the deal, the nightly network shows that everybody's heard of and is familiar with, such as The Tonight Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, etc., could return to the air within days. But as writers prepare to potentially crack open their laptops again, it's far from business as usual. Talks have not yet resumed between studios and the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So hot labor summer, it is still on in other industries. UAW strike, of course, is another one that comes to mind immediately. And what a major, major weekend they had. This is, I cannot emphasize this enough, Aaron. I love having Professor Shelton on for office hours on Thursday so we can get a labor expert and a historian to kind of contextualize why this matters, but we are seeing a labor movement in the United States unlike one that I can imagine in my entire lifetime. I might be getting old, but I'm not that old, and this is changing the game.
Absolutely. And like I said before, I'm really excited to see it happen. I think this deal that they're coming to shows promising things for SAG-AFTRA and the UAW laborers, in that even in with today's enormous wealth disparity, strikes still work, workers still have power, we can at least try and get a more fair deal.
Yeah, I mean, the workforce is the engine of the American economy. I say this time and time again. They should be the ones benefiting from the fruits of their labor. And I think in particular, when we're referring to, you think of some of the technological advancements that have kind of changed the way that employers react and treat their employees, you think, referring, of course, to the Writers and Actors Guild, you think about the impact of AI, right? Things like ChatGPT being used to write scripts. If the employers are the ones who own this technology, they no longer have to pay an individual to, you know, create the content. But as we have seen in the past, machines, while advanced, cannot produce the same quality content that a real human being can still do. When referring to the actors, you have things like
deepfakes.
That's what I was looking for. Deepfakes, and you have the ability to, you know, own someone's image and likeness in perpetuity as long as you pay them for one day's worth of work. And now you can, you know, you've essentially procedurally generated a character that can be used infinite times in whatever situation you need them to be used in. It's going to cause a massive, massive disruption to the relationship that that these jobs have in their industries and to the relationship between employers and employees. You know that a lot of these executives and massive corporations are going to try to cut spending wherever they possibly can, but human beings are the basis of our communities and the basis of our society. These people need to be protected and taken care of. We're going to be joined by Executive Director of Our Wisconsin Revolution and my good friend Andre Walton coming up after the break to continue this conversation, talk all things labor. It's a Monday. We got plenty to talk about. We got some more weekend headlines to get over. Thanks for joining us, everybody, today, and we will be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez resisting calls to resign from members of his own party after his indictment last week on bribery charges.
To those who have rushed to judgment, you have done so based on a limited set of facts framed by the prosecution to be as salacious as possible.
Insider reporter Reed Alexander says the word is the tentative contract deal between striking writers and Hollywood studios will contain artificial intelligence protections.
The message that's been sent here is that there is not going to be a world in which the creative force goes away quietly and they're going to maintain their foothold in an industry that really needs them now more than ever.
The New York City Fire Department mourning the death of 73-year-old Robert Falco, the 343rd member to die of illnesses linked to 9/11. That's now equal to the number who died on that day of the World Trade Center attack. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee Lutheran High School has kids at home today following gunfire at a Friday night football game. Homecoming Saturday and weekend activities were also canceled. The game was called off in the fourth quarter Friday when shots were fired outside of the track area at around 9:20. Although no injuries were reported, the incident left parents and students shaken. The letter Milwaukee Lutheran sent home to parents said they canceled all of the activities as a precautionary measure. The owner of the Rock Sports Complex in Franklin is addressing ongoing noise complaints from neighbors. The CEO and owner of the complex says some neighbors may never be entirely satisfied with the situation. He does say he's open to finding solutions, including discussing acceptable noise levels and the possibility of sound barriers. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm very excited to be joined on this Monday afternoon by my good friend and the executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution, Andre Walton. Andre, how are you doing this Monday afternoon?
I'm doing great. It's Monday, so there's that, but thanks for having me on, Will. I'm always excited to come talk about politics with you, and I'm looking forward to getting into this conversation.
could be doing better, right? Because it could not be a Monday, but unfortunately it comes once a week. We got to deal with it, but we're here on Town Call to help get you through the Monday blues. And Andre, something that that you noted to me over the weekend as a potential conversation piece, and it definitely needs to be talked about, so we're going to be the ones to do so, is the recent anti-democratic moves seen by state lawmakers throughout the United States, but particularly in the state of Wisconsin, in regards to you know, the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, Megan Wolf and the Wisconsin Election Commission. We have seen time and time again that a certain subset of elected officials seem to be willing to break, not only break with norms, but kind of illegally do what they can to attempt to reserve power in any way, shape, or form. I know that's a conversation that's near and dear to your heart. Please jump into it. What would you like to comment or note in regards to this anti-democratic movement throughout the state?
Well, one thing I would like to note is that we've had these anti-democratic, you know, movements, you know, well before Trump. I think what's interesting that I've been seeing, you know, the post-Trump and January 6th and the election denialism is that before it was just kind of going after like maps and kind of rigging the elections in their favor, but they didn't necessarily go after the institutions of voting themselves. So, for example, now they're going after election commissions, they're going after county commissioners and things of that matter. So now we're seeing kind of an extra step. So not only are you having the rigging of election maps, but you're having outright disdain for the electoral and democratic processes of
the process
these different
itself
states.
Is now
yes,
the question.
Exactly. So that's why it's even more dangerous, because at least you had those systems in place that, you know, protected at least the elections themselves, regardless of the outcomes. But now it's like, all right, we're going to get rid of all of that. So it's, as we all know, that the Republican legislator in Wisconsin has been hinting for, you know, pretty much since our election win of impeaching Janet Protasiewicz. But not only in Wisconsin, there's places in North Carolina, or actually in North Carolina, they have a bill that would give the legislator control over the state and local election board. So that would potentially allow lawmakers to overturn the results. And that's something that's happening. So it's not only in Wisconsin, it's in North Carolina. Also, Alabama is continuing to defy the U.S. Supreme Court. Because they're refusing to draw new congressional district lines for black majority districts. So they've already been hit by the Supreme Court over this, but they've completely just ignored actually doing, actually drawing a black majority districts. So I think their play there is that they will, you know, draw the process as long as possible so that they can keep the maps intact. And that's kind of what we're seeing here in Wisconsin is that if the Republicans can just draw the process out, if they impeach Janet Protasiewicz, they don't even necessarily have to outright get rid of her. If they just keep her impeached, she can't really oversee the process.
She's stuck in limbo. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if they can just draw out if they can just draw out the process, they're still winning. So that's what a lot of people I don't think are not noticing about this, that they don't actually have to impeach her. They just have to draw out the process, which works just as good for them. So we're at this point in time that elections are really threatened across the country, and this could have very, very serious political ramifications in 2024, depending on how the election turns out, which we obviously don't know. But yeah, that it's ramifications that's going all over the place. And the question is, you know, how do we fight back against these type of things? Well, obviously, in Wisconsin, we have fought back with our voting power by electing Janet Protasiewicz. But I think this is an opportunity to put real pressure on lawmakers, you know, phone banking, calling them and letting them know that we're not going to stand for this. Because unlike some of the past statewide elections, Janet Protasiewicz won by 11 points. That is a serious mandate in a state like Wisconsin.
We joked about the Evers landslide at 3 points, and Janet came out and dropped an 11-point W.
Yeah, if you get an 11-point win on a statewide election in Wisconsin, it wasn't a close race by any means necessary. So that is a mandate. So if people are calling in to their state legislators, telling them not to do this, not even to, you know, give this process any effort, impeachment process, any attention, I think it can really, you know, make the Republicans and the state legislature think twice about what they're doing, because if the Republican base starts to turn on them and say, all right, enough is enough, then I think that's when they're going to start, worrying about what they're doing. I think up until this point, that has not been the case, but I think, you know, it's possible if they continue this impeachment process.
And you noted the gerrymandered maps and protecting of the gerrymandered maps being quite likely the driving force behind a lot of this anti-democratic rhetoric that we're seeing across the United States. Wisconsin's maps in particular have been, we've covered it on the show pretty extensively. Everybody who's involved in Wisconsin politics has been staring the maps down in one way, shape, or another. And just to provide some context to how aggressive the gerrymander is in this state, remember that a 2020 Harvard study ranked Wisconsin's legislative maps as the worst in the United States, on par with Jordan, Bahrain, and the Congo. They've consistently given the GOP large majorities, currently 22-11 in the Senate, which is a supermajority, and 64-35 in the House, two votes shy of a supermajority, despite the state tilting slightly Democratic in most recent statewide elections. One thing that I've pointed out was Ron Johnson in 2016 and now Ron Johnson in 2022, I believe, are two of the three statewide elections that Republicans have won since 2016. So of the, 7 years of statewide elections, Republicans have only won three of them, and two of them were the current U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who was the incumbent at the time.
Yeah, and that's fascinating about how blatantly bad our elections are here in Wisconsin, that, you know, we're on par with developing nations that don't even have democracies. So it kind of shows the state of Wisconsin and how far we've gotten from the days of, you know, fighting Bob La Follette and the progressive history that we've had in Wisconsin. But I think it's also it really highlights that, you know, even if you have democracy on paper, that does not mean that you have democracy in function. And in Wisconsin, you can win a state election, but on a legislative side of things, we do not have a functioning democracy. And for me, as you know, somebody who really values those aspects of a democratic process, I don't understand how us as voters aren't in the street every day protesting our legislators, you know, blocking every restaurant they try to get into and say, hey, we want our democracy back, because this is how democracies die. They don't always happen through violence and revolutions, but they go quietly. They go through the processes of what's legal. So, you know, that's the scary part about this whole process, is that even though, we've kind of extended or expanded trying to go through all the legal processes, fighting against gerrymandering and the attack on our election processes, basically what they're doing is technically legal. So it's like, well, that's why people are kind of like raising their hands up, like, well, what can we do? Well, we have to really get out on the streets and really start to protest and really make them uncomfortable in their everyday lives, because why are you allowed to be comfortable ruining democracy and we have to just sit down and take it? That's just my solution, but that's, you know, something I believe
put,
that we
put
need to
put pressure
do.
On your public officials. If you have a question for Andre Walton, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. This is Town Call, and we are having a conversation about democracy in the state of Wisconsin with Andre Walton, executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. And Andre, something you noted, I believe it's a Mike McCabe quote, actually, and I love this quote, that democracy is a verb, not a noun, right? Mm-hmm. The act of having democracy in our society is something that you can't take for granted, because you need to work to keep it alive every single day. You need to be waking up every morning knowing and proud of the fact that you live in a democracy, and being willing to fight for the right to continue this system of governance. And in Wisconsin in particular, as the legislative maps have come into question time and time again, we've seen attempts to kind of overrule the will of the people of Wisconsin. The Supreme Court race is, of course, the most obvious one. You talked about not only putting pressure on your public officials, but, you know, I don't want to say publicly shaming them necessarily, but making them uncomfortable in the same way that they have made our lives uncomfortable. Remember that these individuals work at our behest. We elect them to represent us. What would you say, what would you tell the average voter who might be interested in getting involved, but doesn't necessarily know how to get their foot in the door? How do they get started?
Well, it's actually relatively easy. I mean, once you're first getting started, you don't want to overwhelm yourself, but find an organization. I mean, our Wisconsin Revolution, we're always taking parts in the democratic process, but there are a lot of organizations out there. There's, you know, DSA, there's Citizen Action of Wisconsin, there's PSL. There's a lot of organizations, and they can teach you how to get involved and start putting pressure on your local officials, your state officials, or even your federal officials. And there's different ways to get your start, but you know, that's how you do it. You get a part of an organization, you band together and do collective action.
We've seen this with the labor movement, Andrea. We were talking about it at the beginning of the show, that our strength is in our numbers, right? Solidarity forever. The only advantage that we have over the powers that be is each other. And this doesn't just work in labor struggles. This works in, you know, grassroots, boots on the ground organizing as well. Find like-minded individuals who see the world through a similar lens as you do, who want to see the change in society that you want to see. Work together with them, and you can accomplish anything.
Exactly.
Now, Andre, I've heard that you have a upcoming convention as well. I wanted to give you a moment to plug that as long as you were here. Tell me about the Our Wisconsin Revolution convention, please.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this convention because it's going to be on October 7th from 10 to 5 p.m. But we're going to have a really exciting guest. So we're going to have the amazing Nina Turner. She was a former state senator in Ohio. She was one of the co-chairs on Bernie Sanders' 2020 campaign. And she also ran for Congress in Ohio as well. So she's a prolific speaker. She's a great woman. We're excited to have her come to our convention. But if you want to hang out with us, you know, meet Nina Turner, learn how you can be a part of a movement, learn how you can get a part of what we're doing as far as our political actions, this is a great way to do it. Come to the convention. It's going to be in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. October 7th from 10 to 5 p.m.
Excellent. And I've been told you also plan to have other speakers such as Harvey K, John Nichols. It's a very wide range of talented and some of, in my opinion, the best and brightest minds in the progressive movement are going to be there. If we want to sit here and talk about organizing at the ground level, finding like-minded entities that you can work with that can help you get your foot in the door. Sounds like a great example to do so. We're going to be continuing the conversation on democracy in Wisconsin. If you have a question for Andre Walton, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. There is plenty, plenty more headlines to talk about, including student loan debt, the UAW strike, which is still ongoing, and as we've talked about time and time again, hot labor summer never ends. There is always some type of movement we can get behind. But I want to continue that conversation with you, Andre. Again, if you have any calls, questions, comments, or concerns, please don't hesitate to hit us up, 844-967-2789. Andre, before we hit this break, what'd you do this weekend?
Oh, well, I got a chance to play in my basketball game, and my team won by 40 points. So, hey, that's what I did.
It's not quite a Wisconsin landslide, but we'll take the 40 points, right? You're almost on Janet Protasiewicz's level. So please give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. If you'd like to contribute to today's show, we're going to continue this conversation. We'll be right back.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been wasn't this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 70. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 60. Cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs around 67. Overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Power in the factory, power in the land, power in the hand of the worker. It all amounts to
welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're talking the state of democracy in the state of Wisconsin in particular with Andre Walton, Executive Director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. If you have a question for Mr. Andre Walton, don't hesitate to give us a call or shoot us a text. We're going to go to the phone lines quick. We got Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, do you have a question for Andre today?
Yeah, I think one of the attacks, another attack that's going on in democracy today is the attack of Tomczyk against that newspaper, the Freedom Dignity. It is supposedly an accurate article that he actually used the N-word at a public meeting. And he admitted to using that word as part of his regular vocabulary as well, but I just didn't see it there. But in spite of the fact there are witnesses that say, yes, they did hear him say that, and the newspaper was just simply reporting on that. Now this guy can just slam them and, you know, rack up all their legal costs. And I'd like to know who's funding his case against them. And that the guy should just get called off for it. He should just admit, yeah, I made a mistake. But yet he is, you know, bankrupting, you know, independent media.
And that's a problem we see all across the country and in industry after industry after industry, right, Mark? It's the big guy is able to take advantage of legal loopholes or the system itself to kind of squash any small or independent individual from being able to fight back, hold them up in court for years and years and years, drown them in financial fees. I mean, Donald Trump was famous for this, right? We've seen this time and time and time again. I don't know what the solution is. If it was easy, I think we'd already have a number of some of the excellent nonprofit entities out there working towards it. But, you know, capital is going to capital, right?
I think I know the solution. You tax the rich so they don't have all this excess money to just do all this crazy stuff. They don't need all that excess money to just be going around suing people and buying their fourth, fifth yachts. So that's the solution, man.
Well, again, capital is going to capital, right? When you have access to essentially infinite amounts of wealth or behind the scenes dark money sources funding whatever you're doing, as Mark pointed out, it makes it really easy to be able to hold these small and independent entities up, prevent them from doing some of the important, incredible on the ground work that they've been doing. And another thing that we've talked about in the past time and time again, modern society just seems to lack accountability, right? Mark noted, you could come out and simply say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I'd like to ask for forgiveness and move on. But that doesn't seem to be the way that a lot of powerful entities work anymore. Now it's double down, triple down, quadruple down on whatever the mistake was. Never admit fault, always be on the offensive, attack, attack, attack. That's not healthy for discourse. It's not healthy for the ability of people in society to find common ground and being able to negotiate and work together moving forward if one individual just, you know, won't come to the table in good faith.
Yeah, and I think adding to that, I think it's something more powerful about admitting that you were wrong than doubling down, because I think it takes more of an effort to let go of your pride to admit that you were wrong. When you're doubling down, it just makes you like an a-hole. It's like, well,
Accountability, Andre. People refuse to accept accountability. Nobody wants to be wrong. If you thanks for the call, Mark. If you have a question for Andre, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Andre, I understand you have some updates on the UAW strike as well that you wanted to cover.
Yeah, so it looks like the UAW is expanding their strike. So it looks like at noon, 5,000 more members of the United Auto Workers at 38 Parts Distribution Center for Stellantis and General Motors walked off the job. And those facilities are spread out over 20 states, which is pretty amazing. So they joined 13,000 workers at assembly plants in Ohio, Michigan, and Missouri who have been out for weeks for a total of 18,000 Big Three auto workers on the picket line nationwide. So the reason why I think this is pretty fascinating is for a couple of reasons. So one is they are now targeting one of their most profitable parts of the company, which means that it's going to hurt, you know, the company a little bit more. And two, I just appreciate the kind of escalation that tactic that Fain, the president of UAW, is going about.
That's Sean Fain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean Fain, because he's doing it in tiers because one, he started with, you know, a limited strike. It's kind of like a warning shot. And now he's starting with kind of escalating that strike where it's like, all right, we're going to start hitting those profits soon. And then it's going to kind of be an all-out strike if they continue to be stubborn about negotiating in good faith. And I think this is really good because, one, it doesn't kind of expand all their money at once, because if everybody knows that usually with these strikes, they have strike funds. But if they all went on strike all at once, they can kind of burn through that really quickly. But now since they're using kind of an escalated strike, it's like, okay, we're going to start off a little bit. And then we're kind of escalate as we go. And then that way they don't burn through their strike funds really fast. So I think this is a really good tactic. It's given, it's showing how serious the strikers are, but also doing it in a way that is strategic and also doesn't burn through their funds really fast. So it's really fascinating now that they're targeting their most profitable part of the business, because it's showing that, hey, these guys are serious. These workers are serious, and you know they're going to be militant about it. And I think this is the type of tactics we have to use in the workers' movement if we really want the demands met. Especially since a lot of these workers are underpaid, overworked, and don't have adequate benefits.
And Sean Fain has done a marvelous job. I mean, you could make the argument, and I think I have made the argument, he's rewriting the book on how organized labor is able to kind of fight back against their employers in these type of situations. What he has done has been counter, I guess, to prevailing narrative as to how to run a strike, but he's shown time and time again that he is in complete control of the situation. The hilarious story from last week where the leaked memo of locations where the UAW strikers were planning to walk out, and then the plants reacted accordingly, pulling their engines out of these facilities, moving them to different facilities, whatever. And it was false information that had been leaked. So they are the workers really have complete control of this situation. They are dictating the terms of the strike, how they want, where they want, when they want. And if this comes to fruition in the way that perhaps we have not seen the agreement yet for the Writers Guild, but once that information gets out, if we're able to see how much of their demands they were able to secure, we are really seeing a moment in American history that might genuinely shift the relationship between the working people of not just Wisconsin, but the United States and employers throughout the country. So I wanted to thank you for joining us today, Mr. Andre Walden, Executive Director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. Andre, where can people find you if they're interested in more information?
Yeah, if you want to connect with me on social media, all my social medias are just Andre Walton. I'm the real Andre Walton, trust me. Or if you want to connect with our organization, you can find us on Our Wisconsin Rev on all platforms. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Thanks so much, Andre. It was wonderful of you to join us today on this Monday afternoon. As always, Aaron is joining me. We will be back tomorrow. We have plenty more Wisconsin conversations to cover. This is Town Call. Thanks for joining us today. Take it easy, party people.
We'll see you next time.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.